And I wonder when people say that, I wonder what sort of man they mean. And I wonder when you grew up, what sort of man do you want to be like? Maybe you want to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger with loads of muscles and somebody really, really strong. You'd like to be like that. Or maybe you'd like to be a man like Fernando Torres or Wayne Rooney or Frank Lampard. Or maybe some of the older fellas, they want to be a man like James Bond, who's really good with the women. Or maybe some of you want to be like a racing driver like Jenson Button. What sort of man do you want to be? One of the purposes of Boys Brigade is that you become, helps you become men. Christian manliness means becoming the man that God wants you to be. And in the story we're going to look at today, we're going to see a man who's a great example of a real man and the sort of man that you should desire to be like, desire to be one day. We have to go back over our story today because we did this at the Girls Brigade, the first part. But for you to understand what we're talking about, we'll do this very quickly. The story begins with a lady called Naomi and her husband Elimelech. And Naomi and Elimelech live in Bethlehem. Can I have the next picture, fellas? Naomi and Elimelech, they live in Bethlehem. And there's no food. There's a famine because the people have sinned against God. And so they leave their homeland and they go to live in Moab. They shouldn't have gone there. It was a bad country. And the people there were very, very bad. But Naomi and Elimelech go there. And then Elimelech dies. And what happens is that Mahlon and Chilion, their two sons, they marry two women from Moab, one called Ruth and the other called Orpah. Now, they shouldn't have done that. Mahlon and Chilion belong to the people of God, and the Bible teaches those who belong to God's people should only marry within God's people. They should only marry girls who loved and trusted the true God. After a time, Mahlon and Chilion, they died as well. And so all that was left was now Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, one called Ruth and one called Orpah. Now, Naomi realized that God has come and helped the people in their homeland, and she realizes that she's been wrong and going away from God, and so she decides to go back to her homeland, back to Bethlehem, and back to trust in God again. And the two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, they said, "We're going to go with you." But then Naomi says, "Listen, it's going to be very hard for you. It'd be better for you if you stay here." So eventually, with tears, Orpah decides to stay. But Ruth won't stay with her own family in Moab. She wants to go with Naomi. And the reason she wants to go is she's now come to trust in the true God of Israel. And she says to Naomi, "Your God will be my God." And so Naomi and Ruth, they come back to Bethlehem, back to the land that indeed Naomi had left. But here's the big question: how were they going to survive? They had no jobs, they had no food. How are they going to survive? Well, Naomi tells Ruth that she should go, and Ruth goes to glean in a field. In those days, when people were bringing in the crops, they would have left a bit of around the edges and here and there, so poor people could come and to glean in the fields. So that is what Ruth decides to do. But it's a field that belongs to a man called Boaz. And this is the man I want you to remember today. This is the man, if you want to be a real man that God wants you to be, this is a man you should be like, Boaz. Boaz came into the field and he said to the men, "God be with you." And they replied, "God bless you." This is the first point. Christian manliness is trusting in God. Trusting in God. Listen, if you want to be a real man, you cannot be a real man unless you're like Boaz and come to trust in the real God. Now, some people think being a Christian and following God, it's a soft, it's a wimpy thing. It's not. Jesus told people, if you're going to follow me, you count the cost, because this isn't easy. This is going to be hard. It's going to be tough. And boys, I challenge you today, are you going to be strong enough to be a real man? Are you going to follow Jesus? Because when you follow Jesus, people will make fun of you at times. People will mock you. People will call you names. People will turn away from you. So you have to be strong if you're going to become a Christian. You have to be strong if you're going to follow Jesus Christ. But this is the point. Boaz, he was a man who loved his God. He came into a field with all the workers who would have been strong men. And he didn't care. He told them about his God, and he told them that he trusted in the true God of Israel. And you know something? Maybe at times they made fun of him, but boys, they respected him. And I can tell you this, if you follow God, if you trust in God, trust in the Lord Jesus, people will make fun of you at times. But if you follow Jesus, people will respect you. Because you have something that they need, and you will have something that they would want. So the first thing about being a Christian man, a real man, is trusting in God. Boys, have you come to trust in Jesus? Have you come and bowed before him and said, I know you have died on the cross to save me. I want to follow you. Help me to follow you no matter what people will say. It takes a real man to go to school and to be different. It takes a real man when others are mocking and using bad language not to use it. I remember, boys, when I went to work in Manchester one summer and I came into a canteen my first day there and all the fellas were smoking and all of them were cursing. And I was only there a few minutes and one man turned around to me and he says, are you one of these born-again renegades? It's a phrase he used. He knew I was different. And he made fun of me. But a day later, boys, his attitude had changed. He'd come to respect me. He also was offered to steal some stuff for me, but that was a different thing. But listen, he did respect me. And listen, boys, if you're going to be a real man and trust in Jesus, people will make fun of you. But listen, they're going to make fun because they're missing out. They will respect you too. Boaz not only was a man who trusted in God, he was also a man who cared for others. He looked and he saw in the field a girl, Ruth. Now, in those days, people who went around the field gleaning, they would be a bit like the people you might see in Belfast who are begging at the side of the road looking for some money at the side of the street. They weren't looked upon very highly. They were allowed to do this according to God's law to get a bit of food, but they were looked down upon as being so poor and not worth noticing. But Boaz, he didn't look down on her. He cared for her. He asked who she was. And he says to her, you come and take water from what my girls have. You come and you stay in this field. Don't go to another field, you might be hurt. And he told the men to leave a bit extra of the barley out so she could pick it up. He cared for her. You see, a real man is not a man who's caught up with himself and just doing his own thing. A real man is someone who cares for others. Jesus was a real man. Listen, Jesus is the one perfect man, and he went out of his way to suffer because he loved others. You see, it's very easy, boys, just to be caught up in your own games, caught up in doing your own thing. It's a very different thing when in school and people are making fun of a boy who's not liked in your class. It's a very different thing to stick up for him and to care for him. It's a very different thing to sit beside someone who nobody else likes. It takes a real man to do that. But Boaz was a real man. He cared for Ruth. But not only did Boaz care for Ruth, at lunchtime, he invited Ruth to join with him. And he talked to her. He got to know her. A real man is someone who talks to people. The reason why I say this, boys, sometimes I go into people's homes when I'm visiting as a minister, and you know, there are two types of young people when I go into the homes. There are young people who run. The minister's here, get out of the room as quick as possible. I don't know, maybe I'm scary, maybe I might catch something of it, but they want to get away from the minister. And then there are young people who will sit there and talk to you. A real man is a is a fella who loves to talk to people. A real man is a fella who loves to get to know people. Can I really encourage you, fellas? Take time to talk to grown-ups. Get to know them, ask them questions, learn from them. When a grown-up comes in your house, it doesn't have to be the minister. When a grown-up comes in your house, don't automatically run out. A real man is a gentleman, a man who will talk to people, be polite to people. In school, take time to talk to people. Talk to your teachers. Maybe you think they're as bad as ministers and scary. Talk to them. Talk to people. You see, Boaz took time to talk to Ruth because he cared for Ruth. At the end of the day, when Ruth returns home to Naomi, her mother-in-law, Naomi was absolutely amazed with the amount of barley that she'd got. She had got so much, more than you would ever expect to get gleaning. And Naomi asked, how come, whose field was this that you got so much? And then Ruth tells her that she was in the field of Boaz. And Naomi explains to Ruth that Boaz, now here's a big word for you boys, two big words, he was a kinsman redeemer. He was a close relative who could come and help them. And he could help them in two ways. Now that indeed Ruth's husband had died, this close relative could come and marry Ruth so that the family would continue. And also, when land had to be sold because they were poor to get money, he is the one who would buy the land and keep the land in the family so it wouldn't be lost forever. He was a kinsman redeemer. And so Ruth is told that this man is a special man. He is a kinsman redeemer. Now, boys, when the harvest was finished, what happens is that all the barley would be brought in and it would be thrashed. It means it's all broken up. And then what they do is they throw it up in the air and the wind comes and takes the rubbish stuff away, the straw and that is blown away and leaves the good barley. And they do this, it was called the threshing floor. And so Naomi says to Ruth that she should go to the threshing floor and see where Boaz is and lie down beside him at night. And that was a very silly thing and a very dangerous thing to do. She shouldn't have done this. But Ruth did what her mother-in-law told her. So she went and she lay beside him. She lies at his feet. And then in the middle of the night, something startles Boaz and he wakes up and he looks and there is Ruth at his feet. Next picture, boys. And he asks Ruth, what does she want? And Ruth says to him, spread the corner of your cloak over me. In other words, be my husband. Now he knew he shouldn't take advantage of this woman. He knew he should do the right thing and see if he could marry her first. Here's another thing about a real man. Christian manliness means respecting women. Boys, do you respect women? Do you? Can you just flick on the text, boys? Do you respect women? Do you let a lady go first out the door? Do you let a girl go out the door first? Do you hold the door open for your mummy to get in the car? We went to a church and there was four sons. And at the prayer meeting, when they were leaving the prayer meeting, the four sons and the father, they would stand at the door in like a line and let their mother out first. They were real gentlemen. They were strong men, but they were gentlemen. A real man respects women. Boys, when you get older, are you going to put pictures of women on the wall of your room because they're good looking? That's not respecting women. That's treating a woman like an object. You shouldn't treat women that way. A gentleman treats a woman as a real person. Do you talk to women? Do you want to get to know them? Don't treat them as just an object to please you. Never do that. A real man respects women. He cares for women. He'll be gentle with women. The girls in your class, are you nice to them? Or do you pull their hair? Call them names? Don't do that. A real man respects women. So, Boaz says to Ruth, okay, I'll do this. I will go and I will be your husband. But, here's the problem. There's another relative who's closer than me. He has the first choice to marry you and to buy the land. I'll go and find out if he wants to do it. If he won't do it, I'll do this for you." And so Boaz goes to the city gate. He goes to the city gate, which is where all the elders met, where all the important decisions were taken in the city. And he finds the man who's the closer relative and says to him, "Here, will you buy this piece of land from Naomi?" And the man says, "Great, I'll take this piece of land." And then he says, "But when you take the land, you're going to have to marry Ruth as well." And he says, "No, I'm not going to do that." And then Boaz says, "Listen, to all the elders, may it be known that I'm going to do this. I'm going to buy the land, and I am going to marry Ruth." What he was doing was redeeming her. He was buying her freedom. A real man works to redeem others. Boys, do you ever think, why is it that the officers spend Monday night and Friday nights coming along to teach you? Do they have nothing else to do? The reason why they come along is because they want to see you redeemed. They want to see you to come and trust in Jesus. A real man works so that others will be redeemed. And I can tell you this, boys, there's nothing more exciting in life than telling other people about Jesus. Yes, it's scary. It's scary standing up in the front and talking to yous. It's scary going and talking to people in your class about Jesus. It is scary. But I can tell you this. There's nothing more rewarding in this world than telling others about Jesus. When I went to university, boys, there was a thing called Talk Shop where we could talk to people about Jesus. And I felt that God wanted me to be involved in this. And for week after week, I wouldn't go to it. But then eventually, I felt I had to go to it, and I went to it. And the way they did was they had a prayer meeting up in a wee room, and then they came down in the students' union. There was a disco in the dining room, and we had a wee table outside the disco where we gave out tea and coffee and biscuits and little tracts talking to people about Jesus. And the first night I went, boys, I went up into the prayer room, and then what did I do? I came down and ran home. I was scared. Because it was scary going to talk to these people about Jesus. But I came back, and I was scared, and going to talk to people and say to them, "What do you think about Jesus? What do you think is going to happen when you die?" That was scary. But I can tell you this, boys. See, when I look back at my time at university, there is nothing give me more fun and enjoyment than doing that. There is nothing compared in the world to work to see others redeemed. A real man works to see others redeemed. But what does that word redeemed mean? Well, let me tell you a story. It helps explain it. A little boy got a boat, and he loved his little boat. And he would take the little boat, and he would put it on a wee pond, and he would watch the little boat float along, and he thought this was great. And then one day, he took the little boat down to a river, the back of his house, and he shouldn't have gone to the river. It was very dangerous. But he put the little boat in the river, and then gradually went out further away, and was out of his depth, and he couldn't get the little boat anymore. And the current took the little boat down the river. He started to follow along the bank, then eventually he couldn't follow it anymore. And the little boat was taken away. And he had lost his little boat. And then days or weeks later, he was with his daddy at a car boot sale. And what did he see at the car boot sale? His little boat. Now, it had once belonged to him, but he had lost it. So what does he do? He pays to get it back. He redeems it. And he has the little boat again. But he had to pay for it. And listen, boys, what happened is we belong to God, but in a sense, God has lost us. We're separated from God because of our sin. God wants to be our friend. He wants to have us forever in heaven, but he's lost us because we've turned away from him. But what did he do? He has bought us back. Like a little boy at the car boot sale, God has bought us back. But he didn't buy us back with money. He bought us back with the blood of his son. Jesus had to die so we could be bought back. That's what it means to redeem. God buys us back. Boys, there are two types of boys, there are two types of grown-ups in this room here today. There are those who have been redeemed, who have been bought back because of trust in Jesus, and there are those who are not redeemed yet. If you haven't been redeemed yet, I hope you will one day. So let's recap on what we have learned today, boys. What is a true man? Well, first of all, a true man is someone who will be trusting in God. Are you trusting in God and in His Son to be your Savior, Lord? Are you trusting in Jesus to take you to heaven? A true man will trust in God. You will never be a complete man, a real man, until you trust in God. Secondly, a real man is someone who is caring for others. Do you care for others? Do you help others? Do you look out for others? Thirdly, a true man is someone who's busy talking to people. Do you get to know people? Do you take an interest in people? Fourthly, a true man is someone who is busy respecting women. He treats women properly. And finally, a true man is busy working to redeem so that others will come to know Jesus as well. Boys, will you be quiet for a wee minute? Can I just say a wee word to dads here? Dads, your boys will copy you. This past week, we were moving house, and one day I was taking a box out of our house to the car, and I looked behind me, and Johanna, who's now 16 months old, was carrying an empty box behind me. She was copying her daddy. How much more do boys copy their fathers? And listen, men, are those qualities something that are real in your life? Are you a real man who's trusting in God, caring for others, busy talking to people, have time for people? Do you have time for your sons to talk to them? Do you encourage them to talk? Are you someone who's respecting women and respecting your wives? Are you someone who's working to redeem? Now, you can't work to redeem until you've been redeemed yourself. Listen, men, your sons will imitate you. Your sons will follow your example. And here's a challenge, men, today. Where are you leading your sons? Are you leading them away from God, away from the place of worship, which means away from heaven? Or are you leading them to God, to Jesus, to trust in as Savior? Are you leading them to heavenly glory? Men, you are leading your sons somewhere. Where are you leading them? To Jesus or away from Jesus? Can I say the same thing I said at the Girls' Brigade? It's lovely to see parents. I know some belong to other churches, but it's parents who don't have really a church that they go to regularly. It's lovely to see you here today, but can I urge you, on behalf of your sons, and for the sake of your sons, come to church week after week. Be in the place of worship. Seek after Christ. Seek after salvation. Because wouldn't it be awful on the day of judgment, you to stand there, having rejected Christ, and your son to stand beside you, and said, Father, you led me away from Jesus. I thought it was uncool to follow Jesus because you didn't follow Jesus. Fathers, this is so important. You know, it terrifies me being a parent. Not changing the nappies. Not in doing the things, the practical things. It terrifies me about the example that I will set my daughter. Man, what example are you setting your sons? Let's pray together. God, our Father, we thank you for our time together today. And Father, we thank you that in Boaz we see an example of Christian manliness. And we thank you at the very center of the Boys' Brigade is a desire to see boys won for Christ and to grow to be Christian men, real men, who trust in God, real men who follow Jesus, real men who work for the redemption of others. So, Father, we pray for all the boys here that they would indeed come to trust in Jesus and walk in his ways. Help the officers, Father, fulfill their great responsibilities. And, Father, for fathers here today who aren't saved and are leading their children away from the things of God, Father, help them. We know it's difficult being fathers. And none of us are fit for this in ourselves. We realize that. Give us grace that we need, O God, to lead our sons, to lead our daughters in the ways of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Our closing praise is in Christ alone. And after we sing this, could I ask you to remain standing as the colours will be returned. And then we'll have the benediction. And then we'll sing the National Anthem. We're going to sing the two verses of our National Anthem. Will be on the screen. In Christ alone. Benediction. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now until Christ calls or comes, and then forevermore. Amen.